Well, hey there, folks. Welcome to Astronomica, a Stars Without Number actual play podcast.
Our story takes place 6 centuries after the collapse of an interstellar empire as a band of ne'er-do-wells pick through the ashes.
We're not ne'er-do-wells.
If anything, we're oft-do-wells.
When have you ever done well?
We've had more than 160 episodes. There's been tons of well-doing.
That's too much for him to go back through.
Then he can listen to one of our regular synopsis episodes and get all caught up on the backstory.
Okay, fine, but you're rare-do-wells at best.
Okay.
Fine.
Guys, do you think we should scrap Astronomica and just make a show called Rare Do Well?
Yes, I do.
We've got more than 3 years of zany characters, unique planets, and novel sci-fi situations. We've built an awesome and inclusive fan community. We are not starting over.
Okay, but I mean, Astronomica kind of sucks. Rare Do Wells sounds awesome.
Don't listen to them. Astronomica's great. We're really proud of it. Check us out on a podcatcher of your choice or visit astronomicapodcast.com. Excelsior.
Previously on Dark Star Adventures, our crew of misfits and mercenaries was sent on a secret mission by Omnitech Corporation. Their journey started on the rough-and-tumble station Kamiri 4, where they wrestled with a local gang, the Drift Rats, and befriended another, the Neon Fangs. They were able to secure an aging starship, but no sooner had they launched than they came under fire from a pair of strike fighters piloted by those same Drift Rats. Now the crew has just fought them off. They have named their ship, and they have moved off into the void to meet the mysterious Dr. Alara Voss. What will happen next for the crew of the Scapegoat?
Yeah, I know a bad deal when I see one.
You were just telling us about how we're gonna get our throats slit.
The head kept on doing something funny. Let's just put him in the trunk real quick.
I never said I was stealing. I said I would divvy it up later. Maybe.
So sit back and enjoy tonight's thrilling session of Dark Star Adventures. Welcome back, crew. Everything's named the Scapegoat. How do you feel about the name?
I was surprised everybody jumped on it, that they liked it so much. That was like my fifth choice.
Felix could not care less.
Felix doesn't care about anything except getting high
and robots.
How's he gonna get high if he's a robot? Just something to think about.
Oh, there's ways.
Might be a self-fulfilling prophecy.
And yeah, I'm going to say Scapegoat a little bit too fitting. Where'd you come up with that, Thorn?
Well, it's a bit of a personally appropriate title since, well, you know these corpos can't be trusted, right? Last time I got tangled up with one of these, ended up in prison for almost 10 years.
Damn, 10 years of hard time? I mean, I just wound up in medical bankruptcy. But let me tell you, can't trust these corpos no further than you can throw them.
Too true, too true.
So you've named your ship, and you move off into the void for several months. It's quite a long trip. You're moving all the way off to the Ravarmi Trita sector, which is several sectors away. You've got 6 weeks of travel, actually, so not quite several months. Almost 2 months of travel ahead of you. You've all heard of all the major planets and cities in this area. In this whole sector. Wafisa was a mostly wild world with a single megacity on it. But something went wrong at some point, and most of the people abandoned the city. That's all you know. But Dr. Alara Voss is there, and there is a lab and a base there owned by Omnitech, and you are going to pick her up. So the Scapegoat enters atmosphere 6 weeks after leaving Kamiri 4. And lands at one of the two spaceports on Wafisa. Both of them in the same megacity, also named Wafisa. Not very creative people in this area of the galaxy. And the spaceport is also called Wafisa. And everyone here is named Wafisa. The Scapegoat's doors hiss open to reveal a world consumed by silence. The air of the spaceport is unnervingly still, with no signs of activity. Just empty docking bays and flickering, half-functional lighting. Even the echoes of your footsteps seem hesitant, as if afraid to break the unnatural quiet. In the center of the terminal, a help desk flickers to life, most likely long dormant. An android, its torso bolted directly to the floor, greets you with a static-laden voice. It's missing its lower half, leaving only a crude reminder of its former mobility.
Welcome to Port Ascension. How may I assist you?
Beyond it is the door to the street.
Port Ascension is not Port Wafasin?
Yes, Ascension, where you can lift your ship into space.
Oh, hell, well, we may need some of that, because let me tell you, I had a little bit of a rough landing on this one, and we may be pretty low on fuel, guys.
Low on fuel? How can that be? There's no way we're going to be able to get cheap fuel around here.
We've been traveling for months, Thorn.
Wasn't there extra fuel in the cargo? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think we might have enough for maybe one more jump, but that's probably about it. So after we finish our business here, we might want to think about fueling up.
Fuel? If you're looking for fuel, you should consider visiting our beautiful city of Wafisa.
Yeah, that's why we're here, boss.
Wafisa, the land of many opportunities.
This poor old man.
Wafisa, a wonderful planet to visit.
He's seen some hard times, this old man.
Felix, can you, like, jack up this thing and, like, find out what their fuel is?
I mean, Robert, I don't think finding fuel is our priority right now. We got a job to do first.
I mean, I don't know how we're getting out of here without it.
I think Robert has a point. We have people coming after us. We kind of need to be able to get away pretty quickly, but we also need food, supplies.
Yeah, I know we got to resupply. All right, let me see what we got here.
Yes, you walk behind. It's just the android is directly wired in. There's no actual terminal here. But the android itself does have a port.
Excuse me, my good sir. I'm just going to connect in here just to find some information. I hope you don't mind. I'll be gentle, I promise.
Wafisa, from its gentle sloping hills to its stunning vistas is...
Yeah, we saw all of that. Yep, here we go. All right.
So roll your hacking or programming or whatever you're using.
It's a land of many dreams.
Hen.
So you hack in, and on your data slab, you can see in the three panels of your screen the different functions that are running on this android.
Well, I'll start with getting like a full map of the area, just like the general kind of layout, so we know where how to navigate around.
Very clever. So you are able to easily download a full map of the city of Wafisa on planet Wafisa.
Perfect. All right, guys, I got that map that we were looking for. You guys want anything? Otherwise, I'm just going to let this old man rest.
As long as it's got information on the different points of interest, then it should be fine.
Yeah, I got...
Wafisa is a gas mining colony.
I guess I could try to look up that dock or whoever it is that we're after here.
I was going to say, because she's at the Omnitech lab, does that map have that lab on her?
Let me take a look.
It does not specifically say that there's an Omnitech lab, no.
Is there anything about... Haley's racking her brain right now. She is really feeling her, like, low in at the moment. She's like, anything there about a Mistretta 4?
There is something about a Mistretta 4.
Yeah, Haley, find something here.
There is a building that's labeled Mistretta 4. It's next to Mistretta 3, 2, and 1.
Yeah, looks like it's right here. She'll be able to get over there pretty easily, I think.
All right, sweet.
What were you thinking? Did you remember that Mistretta 4 is the Omnitech base?
So I've decided that Haley takes copious amounts of notes because of her low int, because that's what I tend to do while we play. But yes, so I went back through my little notepad, I guess, of Haley's, and...
I love that. Like, Haley, it's like, flip it out in the pad and, like, making notes.
Which, honestly, can create a whole lot of interesting problems later on as well, if she's, like, really taking a shit ton of notes of things we don't necessarily want getting out. But yes, I remembered that was part of the mission that we originally received.
Is Haley taking notes on a standard notepad or on a digital tablet?
It is definitely a standard notepad. And she's very analog about this.
Really? So you got a pen and paper?
Like, no, she has like a little pen and a little teeny golf pencil, because this is all stuff that she can like shove into her armor.
It's actually a regular pencil. It just looks like a golf pencil in Haley's hands.
So Haley pulls out her notebook and starts flipping back a couple pages. You know, drift rats, neon lames. Oh, yeah. Mistretta 4. You're able to look it up. You remember that it's the Omnitech Holdings base here on Wafisa, and you're able to pinpoint it on the map.
Wafisa, land of many opportunities.
Right. Well, know our destination. Bit of a walk, but nothing we can't handle. Maybe. As I rub my aching joints.
And what about supplies?
So here in the spaceport, there is no people at all. Everything is completely abandoned. So you walk around a little bit, and there's a lot of shops that are shuttered. Some of them are open, but... their story's all the same. There's nothing in there. The shops have been cleared out, either pillaged or just simply closed because there's no clientele. There's no other ships that have docked anywhere when you're looking out the windows of the spaceport. This place seems completely abandoned.
This is not good.
Not a single soul to make a deal with.
Well, maybe there's answers at our destination. But this is a bit eerie, folks. I'm gonna kind of like walk in Haley's shadow, essentially.
I'm trying to look through my notes because, like, I have the notice skill, but I'm not sure if there's anything that I can discern that looks immediately dangerous as I, like, look around all of these storefronts.
Right. Go ahead and roll notice. If you're actively searching for, you know, some sort of threat, go ahead and roll notice.
I don't notice shit. Oh my god.
You don't even notice Felix walking.
I don't even notice they're empty. Yeah, I just feel like the mountain mocking around.
So with a 4, you take a good hard look, as hard as you can. You really look hard, and then you get fatigued after a couple seconds and say, fuck it, and you don't look anymore.
Well, checks out. Looks good to me.
Is it a pretty straight shot to where we're going? Or are we having to navigate quite a bit through the streets?
You'll be navigating quite a bit.
All right.
So you step out into the streets, and you find the city equally devoid of life as the spaceport itself. There's crumbling skyscrapers that are looming above you, hunched over like giants, and there's empty vehicles sitting abandoned, dotting the middle of the street, up on the sidewalks. Their drivers seem to have vanished commute, abandoning their vehicles at whatever point they decided was most appropriate for whatever trouble they ran into. It's over a mile to the research base, and it looks as though it's going to be a trek through a complete ghost town.
It seems like the stories that this place was abandoned were no exaggeration. Felix, I think I can get a copy of that map, you know, just in case.
Yeah, sure. I'll send it over our network to everybody.
So the map gets sent out to everyone except for Haley, whose datapad is famously broken because she inherited her sister's shitty clamshell datapad from 20 years ago that probably got beat up and half broken in battle. Haley, I'm assuming that you whip out your analog notepad and pen, right?
Yep. Whip out my notepad and just, can someone please just, yeah, can you show me the map? Can you show me the map? Thanks. I appreciate it.
What are you doing? Oh, I can't believe it. It's a three-dimensional...
Haley, I could get you a really good deal on a new datapad.
Nope.
Have y'all seen this? She's got the perspective in this and everything. She doesn't need your fancy datapads.
Thank you, Robert.
When she shows you the datapad that she's talking about and then goes back to sketching the map, it's an old-fashioned military datapad from 20 years ago, and the fact that it's military puts it 20 more years out of date. It's meant to close up and protect the screen in, like, a clamshell design, and when she, like, briefly opens it up to show you, the screen is cracked. The antenna that is supposed to telescope off the top has permanently broken off. The fact that it can receive any sort of message whatsoever is miraculous. In fact, Felix, you looking at that for the moment that she flashes it and then puts it back in her bag, you're not so sure that it will even turn on.
It gets phone calls.
All right, that is important. Gotta just make sure to stay in contact.
Haley is sketching this map with Robert holding his datapad up for her. Felix and Thorne, is there anything you want to do with what is likely the next 5 minutes?
Yeah, you said that everything looks completely abandoned around here, right? Like, it's all sort of left in place, frozen in time, kind of abandoned?
Yes. Everything has a good layer of dust on it. It's obviously been several years.
My first inclination is to find, like, obviously you mentioned that things look picked clean already, but my first inclination is to try and scout anything of value that we could take out of here. If this place has been abandoned a long time, then there's a chance that some of this stuff is no longer easily available. There's the retro angle. Like, people will pay extra for nostalgia.
Okay, so you go rooting around for those 5-10 minutes that you have. You do find some vintage cars. Not only have they been sitting here for a while, but you're kind of on an outer planet, so a lot of the technology that they received was older to begin with, and then there was never a replacement for this technology, so it just kind of got passed down from one person to the next. Inside one of the cars, you find a pack of trading cards for an old children's TV show called Loki Pawn.
Oh man, these are classic. Felix, get a load of these. Do you remember Loki Pawns?
No.
You didn't collect Loki Pawns? Oh my god, I'm taking this.
I was always a Tragics the Gathering kind of man myself.
Oh, Robert, yeah, you know what I'm talking about, though.
So it's an unopened pack, as well as a full already assembled deck.
These'll fetch a decent price from the right buyer, I'll tell you that. I could have sworn this was all going to be junk.
You also find 5 credits.
Who cares about 5 credits? I want to know if we got a foil Charizard in those Loki pawns.
Oh, we're not opening this one, Robert. No, no way. You know how much these packs will go for still sealed?
And just to be clear, Loki pawns, you don't catch them all. You're trying to avoid catching any of them.
Gotta avoid them at all costs.
Loki pawn, gotta catch none.
The cards are like, dive into a bush very quickly.
Here comes the Loki pawn. Oh shit, it wants an owner.
Avoid responsibility. It cost 5 mana, but let me tell you, totally worth it.
How old do we think this is?
Well, Thorne, you collected them when you were a child, which was how long ago?
That would have been 20 years ago.
We've already been in, traveling here for a couple of months to find the dock, and I'm a little worried.
And these are base set.
Is there anything newer than this?
Yeah, I mean, those got to be rare. Was there a whole lot of dust on these?
Yeah, they've been sitting here, obviously, a very long time. But a little, clean them up a little bit, nobody will notice. The cards themselves in the deck look like they're still in good shape because they were in this deck case, and this is a sealed pack.
Felix, the only person who's not talking about Lokimon cards. Wait, Lokipon cards. Wait, what were they called? Lokipon. Felix, the only person that wasn't talking about Lokipon cards. Your head was on a swivel because you're all about business.
That's right.
You see 2 men emerge from the shadow of a building about 100 feet south of you. They are wearing battered armor, barely held together. They have golden shields, spray-painted with an odd insignia of, looks like a very abstract, like pointy logo. They have thick chest plates and helmets with large wings bolted onto either side. They begin to clank towards you as your friends continue to argue behind you about Loki pawn cards.
Hey, we got a situation here. We got company. I back up kind of behind Haley and Robert.
I stash the cards.
They walk up to there about 10 feet from you.
Gentlemen, I thought this place was abandoned. How can we help you?
Welcome, travelers, to Wafisa. We are guardians of the great work.
You don't say. The work, huh?
Well, that's great.
Indeed. Unfortunately, because you're new here, and you didn't stop in at our town office to pay the tax, we'll have to collect the tax now.
Oh, well, wouldn't you know it? We were actually on our way to do that right now, weren't we, Felix?
That's right. Right, Haley?
Totally.
That's great. That's great. The great work is all that matters. And for the good of the work, we will be collecting that tax.
Now, can y'all tell me a little bit more about the great work and what our tax dollars will be paying for? Because we actually did pay the toll in the other Wafisa. We weren't sure if those two were connected.
What do you mean, the other Wafisa?
Not Wafisa. It was manned by a guy named Wafisa.
Okay. You're starting to confuse them, and I'm going to need you to roll for that.
It is their fault for naming everything the same thing.
So go ahead and roll Talk Charisma, and let's see how far you can get with this.
Well, I don't talk real good, so I rolled a 3.
Oh, boy. Okay. So your attempt to confuse him about another place called Wafisa fails, and he says, No matter. It doesn't matter. Listen, that's going to be 50 standard credits each. And for the good of the work, yes. And then you can stay in the city as long as you want, and you'll be under the guardian's protection. There's a lot of scary people in this town, and you don't want them to slit your throats.
We've seen literally no people.
Well, you've seen 2 now, and let me assure you, there's a lot more.
And my good sirs, how will others know that we've properly paid our fee?
Trust us. We'll protect you. That'll be 50 credits each.
Fellas, this seems a bit like a shakedown.
I know a bad deal when I see one.
Well, here's the thing. We're trying to be nice to you. You didn't go to the office and properly check in. It's 50 credits if you go to the office. If we catch people walking around Wafisa, they haven't paid the price yet, it's 75. Do you want me to charge you 75, or would you rather pay 50?
There was a robot who told us all about the opportunities here in Wafisa, and she didn't mention anything about this.
Sorry for the inconvenience. That will be 50 credits, and if you say one more word, it's going to be 75. Do you want it to be 75? He tightens his grip on his battle rifle.
Gentlemen, I don't think we need to get so worked up over...
That's it. It'll be 75.
Okay,
this is
listen.
Drift rat behavior. RJ calls again.
This is drift rat behavior.
This is indeed drift rat behavior.
Keep talking like that, and I'm going to have to ask my good friend Haley here for the 75 credits she's keeping in her fists.
I flex up. I make myself look even larger.
Haley, are you carrying a gun?
I do carry a gun. Do I have
she's
it ready?
Carrying two guns.
Actually, three.
Okay, so they see how well-armed you are.
Yeah, and I also have a really large advanced weapon. It's basically like a claymore on my back.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh my.
So these two guys see how well-armed you are.
Yeah.
Like the whole group of you. And the leader says, okay. I'm sorry, I think we came on a bit strong.
You think?
A bit?
If you don't want to pay the tax, that's fine. Just please stay out of trouble while you're here. How's that sound? Let's each go our own separate way. We don't need to have any sort of altercation.
But you were just telling us about how we're going to get our throats slit.
Yeah, that was a warning, not a threat.
They're full of me.
Yeah, I think their bark is worse than their bite, Haley.
Are you sure?
Listen, we're going to go.
What are your names?
What are our badge numbers?
What's your operating number?
Wafisa and Wafisa.
Wafisa what?
Wafisa, please.
Yeah.
Well, I'm Jorgen, and the other guy goes, yeah, and I'm Slap. So we're going to go now. Sorry to bother you. We didn't realize you were... Make your way to the office. How about that? If you can go to the office and pay the toll, that'll be fine. And, you know, you probably don't even need our protection. It looks like you can take care of yourself. So, and they're kind of backing away. So don't worry about it. Everything's cool.
I look at them incredulously, but I accept it because this is exactly what I want them to do, which is go away and not take my money.
Felix kind of smirks and waves at them.
See you around, Jorgen.
It's, for the good of the work. For the good of the work.
Oh, yeah, they'll work. Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah. They're backing up, and then they finally turn their backs on you, and they round the corner, back out of sight.
Well, that was weird.
Yeah, y'all, did they ever tell us what the work is? I mean, that feels a little genocide-y.
Yeah, there's just the two of them.
Seen
just
stuff, Robert.
Just out of nowhere?
Yeah, where did they even come from, Felix?
I mean, I check out the map to see if they're from the direction that we were going or not.
Yes. And Haley, can you roll notice for me?
She can notice things. She's too busy flexing right now. I mean, my God, look at them guns.
Nice. Good roll. Okay, so Haley, you were watching them leave as everyone started talking. And they rounded a corner about 25 feet away. About 20 seconds later, as the rest of your compatriots are talking, you see one of them pop out, gun at the ready, and take aim.
Jorgen, I knew he was a... Guys!
And with that, we're going to enter combat.
Yeah, that's kind of what I expect.
Yeah.
Okay, so I need everyone to, before combat, roll notice. And we're doing notice wisdom. Okay, so everyone that got a 7 or above... And I'm sorry, Haley, you didn't have to reroll.
Oh, okay.
So anyone that got a 7 or above is aware of the combatants. They heard Haley's warning, and they clocked them... aiming around the corner.
That was nervous.
Yeah, so nobody.
Am I the only person who got above a 7? Oh, God.
None of you.
We were all just amazed. Girl, do those biceps have some baby oil on them? I mean, sweet Jesus.
Haley just grabs Thorn and Felix by the head and just slams them down behind cover.
She's like, get behind me.
Everyone roll initiative. Hey, Spacers, thanks for cruising through the cosmos with us. If you want to go behind the airwaves and dive deeper into our universe, join our Patreon crew. You'll get ad-free early access to every episode, as well as a host of bonus content including Star Master Logs, What I'm Planning, What I'm Improvising, and What Secrets Are Still Waiting in the Dark. Ooh. Your support helps keep this ship running and the stories unfolding. So if you love exploring the Viridian Expanse with us, hop on over to patreon.com/darkstaradventurecast and become part of the crew. Thanks for being on board. Let's follow that signal together. So these two guardians of the work are 25 feet away. Only Haley is really aware of them, though everyone will be aware of them by the end of the first round. So just as Haley warns you, the first guy takes a shot, aiming straight at Haley. The laser fire rips through the air and hits a 17. Does that hit you?
Yup.
The laser rips through your armor, dealing 6 points of damage.
Haley goes, nope. And I'm going to use my ability to negate that damage, so.
Felix, you're hiding behind Haley. She all of a sudden shifts out of the way, and a laser bolt almost takes off your head. And it rips off into the distance.
Holy shit!
Sorry.
The next guardian of the great work takes aim, once again, at Haley. The one person that seems to have noticed them, but also the largest, most hulking figure that is the closest to them. A 9 is a miss. The laser goes wide, scoring a mark in a nearby stone building. And everyone else slowly becomes aware that this battle is happening as Haley, you leap into action. What would you like to do?
Like, Haley's pretty pissed at this point. She's gonna, just kind of draw herself back up to her full strength and charge ahead, because she is not going to let Jorgen and Slap get away with this, and she punches Jorgen in the face.
Very nice. A giant haymaker rockets out of Haley's fist. She charges 25 feet and attempts to land it squarely on his jaw, so go ahead and roll to hit on that one. Oh! Critical miss. You run forward, you trip over your own feet, but as you go down to a knee, because you're a big, dumb, clumsy body, your elbow slaps Jorgen right in the throat.
How's that for work? Sorry.
You say it to him?
Yeah.
Sorry. I didn't mean to make fun of your work. All right, now we're in combat round 2. Everyone is now aware that there is combat happening. Haley has sprinted away. 2 laser bolts have ripped off into the distance. Jorgen is kind of tied up with you right next to him. So he drops his laser rifle, which he has slung around his chest on a strap, and he swiftly draws out a well-oiled electro knife. He attempts to hit you with that. He rolled a 19, so not quite a critical hit, but with a +1, he's at a 20, so that hits you for 5 points of damage. The electricity courses through your body, and he knocks you down to 0 hit points. You've fallen down to a knee at this point, and you just kind of like fall down onto your hands and knees. Your friends are 25 feet behind you. Things are looking grim for Haley. Felix, what can you do, buddy?
Well, is there cover around? Like, what part of the street we're in? Something I can duck behind?
Yes, there are a couple abandoned vehicles, like, sprinkled around the street, as well as some lampposts and some just general refuse.
All right, so the first thing I do, I draw my laser pistol and line up a shot at the guy looming over Haley and pull off a shot before I need to cover. A 10.
A 10 is going to hit them exactly.
5 points of damage then, as a laser bolt rips into Jorgen.
Jorgen, who has previously already taken shock damage from Haley's clumsy jugular elbow, falls to the ground, the advanced knife slipping from his grasp. He holds the hole in his chest and he says, "I wish I had told Lorelei how much I loved her when I had the chance." And then he dies.
Too late now.
Sorry to humanize your enemies, but this guy lived and he loved, and I'm not embarrassed to say it.
They're only humans.
They're only humans.
And I clink over and kind of duck behind a car.
Okay, the other guardian of the great work goes, "Jorgen, no!" And he takes a step back and he wants to aim at who he thinks shot, but Felix has ducked behind cover, so he takes a pot shot at Thorn.
Wow, rude.
Sorry, Thorn. It might be because while I ducked behind the car, I said, "He did it," and I pointed at you.
The guardian of the great work trusts Felix so much that Thorn is the one that killed his friend, Jorgen, and he goes, "Thanks, brother," and then he shoots. Boom! And hits Thorn on an 18 for 6 points of laser rifle damage.
Thorn is still kind of fiddling with his Loki pawn cards when this all started, and as soon as he heard the blaster fire and the chaos ensued, he quickly, like, his neck jerks and snaps over towards where it's coming from, just in time to see a laser bolt fly into his chest and take him out. He falls to the ground.
Thorn, you spin in a very fancy pirouette, taking a laser bolt to your shoulder and fall to the ground at 0 hit points, which is actually, Haley, you're also at 0 hit points, right? Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yep.
Okay, Robert Ross. Here we go, Robert. Now's your time to shine. Save the group. What can you do, Afro Samurai?
I step out, guns a-blazing, right out into the middle, no cover needed, square them up, purposely strafing right as far as I can to make sure that I don't get Haley in any incidental fire, and I let rip with my combat rifle.
Nice. That's a hit. How much damage?
4, 5.
Ooh, nice. 5 points of damage rips straight over Jorgen's shoulder and careens into his friend's shoulder, whose name I've already forgotten. I think it was like Slap.
Yeah, I thought it was Slap.
Yeah, that's our boy Slap. Everybody knows Slap.
He's Mr. Dead. He's dead. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, Mr. Slap crumples to the ground, dead. Both Jorgen and Slap are no more. Meanwhile, Haley's bleeding out and Thorn is looking very bad.
Haven't had some serious PTSD in my day. I run over to Haley with one Y, I mean two Ys, as quick as I can, and hit her with a Lazarus pack.
Robert, as you run up to Haley, her very similar facial features with her sister are giving you crazy flashbacks to the very campaign that ended Haley with one Y's life. You're moving through the jungles on Praxis. The bombs, the rattle of the laser fire. You find her. She's rolled under a bush, wounded, trying to crawl her way out, yelling that she needs to get back to her compatriots. She needs to defend the line. You carefully push her back under the bush, cover her up with your own body, and start to pull out Lazarus packs, applying one after another until you've exhausted your full supply. It's only when you've applied the very last one that you realize that she's been dead for minutes.
You are not dying on me, Haley. You're not gonna do it. You can get back to your family. You can do it. You can do it. One more time. One more.
One more. I can hear you, Robert.
Haley, you feel like you're being pulled up from the dregs of the deepest sleep you've ever been in. Your eyes flutter open and you're looking up at the steel gray sky of a foreign world broken up by the strident lines of the architecture of derelict skyscrapers. You can see Robert to your left, but more importantly, a few scant feet away, you can see that Thorn lie bleeding and gasping on the ground.
Haley, I thought I lost you again.
It's okay, Robert. I'll be here with you every step of the way. Just gotta stop rushing into fights.
No, I love that shit. Get up in there.
Oh, God, okay.
I would like to try to just stabilize Thorn using just basic medical skills and my own intelligence.
Okay, absolutely. So, Felix, you don't have a flashback, and none of this is traumatizing for you because these are just meat bags.
Thorn, damn it. Need you for this mission, buddy. I step out, I kneel over Thorn, I look at the burn wound where the laser hit him, and I see if I can stem the damage so that he can be back among the living.
Oh, man.
It's an 11, baby.
Ayo.
Oh, God. Felix, what the... Oh, that guy shot me.
Yeah, Thorny, you'll be okay.
Tell me someone shot him back.
Robert got him good.
Yes, sir.
Okay, just give me a minute. And then I just kind of collapse back down against this car that I'm up against.
Guys, we are in a real tight spot, I'm not going to lie. We need some kind of drugs or something.
Yeah, Felix, was there anything on the map?
Hold on, let's check these bad boys. They might have some kind of stimulant or something that's going to help our comrades get back on their feet.
Felix, you go over and you give a thorough search of the two bodies. You find that each one of them has a laser rifle as well as an advanced knife. They take the form of shock knives. And their armor is all like gang affiliated type armor, just like you saw on Mary 4. It's cobbled together from various pieces of armor and refuse and spray painted and made to look like a uniform in their case, but ultimately is a collection of junk.
Now, y'all, we do not want to leave these bodies sitting up in here in the street. Have a talent for putting on armors and becoming a disguise for other gang.
Yes, disguises, but can we focus on the task at hand?
Felix, you also find 107 credits between the two of them.
Put those in my pocket.
Do you tell your crew at all?
We'll see.
I need Robert to roll a notice int. No one else, because the other two people are too wounded to notice that sort of thing. But Robert, with a 9, you do see Felix. Well, actually, Felix, since you're trying to do it without being seen, I'm going to give you a chance to slyly pocket that stuff. Go ahead and roll sneak dex.
It's a 6.
Okay. So Robert won it by 3. So Robert, you notice Felix attempting to slyly pocket a object that he's collected from each of the two dead bodies.
Now, as Felix is actually, you know, my brother from another mother, I mean, we know each other from back in the day, I'll let him do it.
That's sweet.
What a guy.
That's touching. Anyway, so Thorne and Haley are bleeding out on the ground while you steal money from under their noses, and Robert lets it happen.
I never said I was stealing. I said I would divvy it up later. Maybe.
So you've searched the bodies thoroughly, and you feel like you've found everything that's on them.
No medical supplies, nothing like that. Just their shitty guns and armor, some spare credits. All right, I'm going to check out my map. Let's see if there's any kind of a doctor's office or hospital nearby. Maybe there's still some supplies left. Hold on, let me see.
Nothing nearby. There are hospitals on the map, but they're not near the spaceport. Several clicks away.
All right, Haley, you said you had some stuff on the ship?
Yeah, back on the ship.
All right. Robert, can you dump those bodies?
I mean, I'm going to take them with us. Can y'all, I got one, can y'all drag one? Let's try not to leave a blood trail, if you don't mind.
Okay, so the four of you take the two bodies with you. I'm not going to question why. That's a decision that I'm personally making to not question my group why they're moving dead bodies around.
I don't know why Robert's doing it either, but I'm just, yeah.
And I think that's fair, and I don't think I want to know for my own sanity and so that I can sleep tonight.
Felix, my friend. Tell me you looted their bodies.
Oh, yeah. Apparently we're bringing them with us, too.
Oh.
You kind of look at Felix and Robert is a bit confused.
Okay, y'all, let me tell you. You do not want a whole bunch of random bodies found in the street. Want to know what that's going to cause? It's going to cause a search. Let's get back to the ship. We need some time.
Robert, yeah, I get it. But, like, we could have just put them in a building or a car. Bring them with us. Jesus Christ, this guy's in.
Robert, I don't want to be caught with dead bodies in my ship. I'm not going back to prison. You're just bringing the evidence with us that we killed these guys.
You're probably not wrong. I did see a whole bunch of trash on the way here, including a couple of dumpsters. We probably could have dumped these about a half mile back.
Oh, my God.
So you drag them, just to be clear, you're dragging them into the spaceport and all the way to the scapegoat.
When Robert says that, I plop my guy down. I'm done, Robert. Can we put these somewhere else?
Can we make cute mannequin out of it so that,
look, oh, my God, over there. Look, abandoned car over there. Just shove him in there.
I guess the question is, who put Robert in charge for a whole half mile of hiking?
Yeah, sometimes in a crisis situation, you just go along with what a confident person says.
Yeah, I'm in extreme pain. I wasn't paying attention.
Yeah, Haley's out of it.
I'm shitting myself over here that you guys actually did it.
So what do you do with these bodies? Are you putting them into the spaceport or are you dropping them off in the dumpster?
No.
Yeah, we're dropping them off after we realize that there's no reason for us to be carting them.
We found a random car. And I positioned them like they were driving down the road in the car.
Clever. Very inconspicuous. So I'm assuming everyone plays along and helps Robert, who in a previous, just a few weeks ago, was rolling around on a space station to cover himself in grease. You all help him prop up these two bodies like puppets to make them look like they're driving a car so that he can feel better about his scenario.
No, you're uttering falsehoods right now.
I hoist mine into the back seat and flop it along, and then whatever he wants to do with it, he can do with it.
Yeah, I'm not helping.
After spending, like, a little bit longer than I'm proud of trying to prop it up and make it look like it drives, the head kept on doing something funny. Let's just put him in the trunk real quick.
So, Robert, I'm pretty sure at this point you're working alone.
Yep.
As you rally the troops, Robert, you yourself do all of the work and move both of the bodies into the trunk.
I'm okay with that.
And then the four of you move into the spaceport, and you make your way to your docking bay. But as you approach, you hear voices.
And when you make out what they're saying from a distance,
you just hear a couple commanding voices talking, and then you hear some laughter, and then you hear some orders being shouted. But nothing that you can quite make out.
Are these voices outside of our landing bay? These are from inside of our landing bay?
Yes, the voices are definitely emanating from your landing bay, which is about 50 feet in front of you. You're walking down the main concourse right now, making your way to Docking Bay 26.
Damn it. Somebody else is here. Someone sneak up and get a good look. See if you can see who they are without getting noticed. Yeah, that's not going to be me. I move my legs and they creak a little bit every time I pick them up. The gear is churning in them. These bad boys haven't been oiled in a while.
Having just gotten back from stashing bodies in a car, I look around and goes, nose goes.
If it's nose goes, everyone roll dex. Lowest roll goes.
Hold on. Thorn and Felix are the rational ones here. I think that represents us not putting our fingers on our noses and just looking at each other.
As the game master, I insist that you roll dex. No, I'm just kidding.
All right, fine. You guys wait here.
Thanks, Thorn.
Aren't you seriously wounded, Thorn?
I mean, I am seriously wounded, but as long as I don't take any damage, then I'm...
Okay, give me a sneak dex, Thorn.
It's pretty bad.
I would like to use my expert ability to once per scene reroll that.
Okay. With a 4, you should consider doing that.
Slightly better.
Okay. So with a 6, you carefully creep up to Docking Bay 26, where you can hear the voices coming from. As you get closer, you can start to hear the voices saying, like, yeah, I thought I saw them out on the street. Yeah, I think Jorgen was talking to them. I'm sure everything's fine. Yeah, boss, I can't get this door open. I'm trying to get this door open still. Hey, keep working on it, buddy, okay? You can get that door open. Okay, I'll keep working, boss. I'll keep trying. And you hear the sounds of a blowtorch, a little bit of hammering.
And that's like, that noise is coming from our ship, right? They're trying to get into our ship.
The noise is coming from that docking bay, yes. You've reached the corner. Would you like to peek around, or is that too much for you? You can go real quick. Whoop, whoop. Just,
yeah, I'll get a peek.
Okay. You quickly go like, ha, and you throw your head out and pull it back.
Yeah.
Go ahead and roll notice int. It's less than a second of what I like to call eye time, time that the eye has used to look upon something. And, ooh, a 10. Good roll. Okay. So with a total time, eye time, as I like to say, of 500 milliseconds, you get a quick wah-wah, and you look around the corner and you pull your head back. You see 3 people. 2 of them are at the front of your ship, and another one is standing off to the side. You know that there has to be at least a 4th one that's in the back working on the hatch, unless that 3rd one that you saw is the one that was working on the hatch. They're also wearing all the accoutrements of Guardians of the Great Work, just like Jorgen and Slep.
Okay. I will take that information, and I will make my way back towards where my friends are waiting.
All right. It's not good news. It seems like it's more of those clowns that we ran into. They specifically mentioned that Jorgen character by name, and it looks like they're trying to break into our ship, and they're definitely setting a trap for when we come back to it. We're going to have a problem. There's 3, maybe 4 of them. They don't look friendly. And I don't know how much longer it's going to take, but they got tools. They're probably going to get into our ship. So I hope you guys didn't leave all your credits in there or something like that. If we're going to rest and recuperate, it's not going to be there. Or at least it's not going to be there right now.
How secure is our ship? They ain't going to be able to get in there, are they?
They could definitely get in there, my friend. It's blowtorch resistant, but it is not blowtorch immune. Unless the 2 of you muscle heads think you can take out 4 guys without getting noticed, I don't think we're getting back to our ship anytime soon.
I don't know. I mean, Haley, correct me if I'm wrong, but you don't look like you're in much shape to take anybody on right now.
I can certainly try to land a shot.
What about this? Like, we could try to make our way to Omnicorp, see if there's any help that we can get there.
I mean, I think that this is a 4-person combat, at least when they have the drop on us. That's going to be dangerous. We could risk it, but it is indeed risky. We might want to hit one of them hospitals. We might want to just go straight to the dock.
And what do we do if we get back and the goat is missing or disabled?
Well, we'll find another solution, man, but, like, what are we going to do right now?
I pick live.
All right. Well, we're not going to get in the ship now. I think we should keep on with our current mission, see if we can get some help from Omnitech. Let's make our way over to Mistrata 4, and then we'll come back and... God willing, the scapegoat will still be here.
So the plan is set. You will be going to Mistrata 4. You exchange glances, and the final decision is made. You cannot go back to your ship when it's under guard. It's at least not in your current condition of 2 severely wounded members. There's no way forward here, at least not yet. And with that, our story will continue at a later date. Well, that's it for tonight, but before we go, let's take a moment and hear the thoughts and feelings of our crew about tonight's adventure.
Boy, I sure do hope that they have some sort of medical supplies at this Omnitech base, because man, if I could make a recommendation, don't get shot. Not recommended. 1 star.
You know, I'm a lot better with machines than I am humans, but I somehow managed to keep Thorn put together for a little while at least. And then, I don't get that Robert guy. Moving bodies around, talking about disguises while we're trying to save lives. Man, you know, but he's good in a fight. He's good in a fight. I hope Omnitech has what we need so we can keep going.
You know, I knew I was prepared as I got ready to go on these tougher missions, but man, I'm really going to have to change up how I do things. I'm pretty shaken up from that. Being still pretty shaken up being on the brink of death, and seeing Robert's face is, you know, the second time he's watched one of us die is like pretty hard.
Well, I'm going to tell you, I'm real glad we are on Wafesa, because God, that ship was starting to smell horrible. I mean, sweet Jesus, finally we're out of space. I thought soldiers smelled bad. Now I'm going to tell you, I really hope we keep the goat. Ooh, I'm loving the goat so far, except for the smell. But then out of nowhere, surprise, motherfucker. Did not like that. Haley, ooh, God, I thought I lost you again. I'm okay. I'm okay, y'all. Don't you worry. I'm okay.
Thanks for joining us, everyone. This has been another adventure of...
Dark Star. Let me try that one more time.
Was that not perfect? I thought it was.
If you're enjoying the show and want to dive deeper into the lore, please check out our Patreon. You'll get ad-free, early access to every episode, plus a whole bunch of bonus content, including the Star Master logs, where I personally break down how the campaign's put together, what I'm planning, what I'm improvising, and what secrets are still waiting in the dark. You'll also get Haley's notes ripped straight from her old-school analog notebook, as well as exclusive character insights, behind-the-scenes glimpses you won't hear in the main show, and much more. Support the mission at patreon.com/darkstaradventurecast. And as always, thanks for listening, and keep following that signal.
Well, hey there, folks. Welcome to Astronomica, a Stars Without Number actual play podcast.
Our story takes place 6 centuries after the collapse of an interstellar empire as a band of ne'er-do-wells pick through the ashes.
We're not ne'er-do-wells.
If anything, we're oft-do-wells.
When have you ever done well?
We've had more than 160 episodes. There's been tons of well-doing.
That's too much for him to go back through.
Then he can listen to one of our regular synopsis episodes and get all caught up on the backstory.
Okay, fine, but you're rare-do-wells at best.
Okay. Yeah. Fine. Guys, do you think we should scrap Astronomica and just make a show called Rare Do Well?
Yes, I do. Yes.
No, yes. We've got more than 3 years of zany characters, unique planets, and novel sci-fi situations. We've built an awesome and inclusive fan community. We are not starting over.
Okay, but I mean, Astronomica kind of sucks. Rare Do Wells sounds awesome.
Don't listen to them. Astronomica is great. We're really proud of it. Check us out on a podcatcher of your choice or visit astronomicapodcast.com. Excelsior.